Everyone on here is just so hot and on fire for God. We had a wonderful fellowship last night. Ethel had a Zoom fellowship and she invited me on along with Mary, and Patty was on, Patty McHugh, and we had a lovely time and just sharing our hearts and sharing the great things that God is doing in our lives. So that was really great. So I'm just very blessed at what God is doing in each one's life, and that, you know, he's really has strengthened us so greatly, and we should really stay focused in that vein, in the vein of what we've been doing in the fellowship, and to desire our own labors, our own fields, as well as stay connected, stay with the principles, stay with everything that we've been encouraged, the very simple foundational things that I always encourage, because that's what God is working in my heart to, you know, really speak forth to each individual, and that really we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we are world changers. No, we are extraordinary people, and we can't see ourselves as ordinary. Our circumstances will try and tell you that you're ordinary, but God says you are extraordinary and here to exceed me abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Okay, God wants you to think highly of yourself in the light of the truth of who you are in Christ. He doesn't want us to think highly of ourselves as in vain imagination, like the world. No, look at me, I'm just so wonderful and beautiful. Even though we are that, you know, we don't look at ourselves in that way, because we see ourselves in the light of Christ. You know, we are at the right-hand side of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, with the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And we are world changers. You know, you can change a whole nation. Just one person that is walking, being led by the Spirit of God, with a desire to do exactly what God puts in their heart with no fear, can change a whole nation. You really can. We've got to see ourselves this way. Jesus was one man. He changed the whole world, past, present, and future, right? And for what he'd done and what he accomplished, we know that he went through some suffering as well. He went through some challenges. He loved life. He was life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We don't, it's not by Muhammad, it's not by Allah or anybody else. The only one way to the one true God is through the one true Son of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that's the way we go. And, you know, I'm not afraid to preach the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ wherever it is. And, like in the West, a lot of people, preachers on the streets are being arrested. And they're trying to bring in like 2-year sentences if you start preaching and speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it's not going to stop the people that are being led by God, because the people that are being led by God won't shut their mouths, but they'll walk with the wisdom of God, being navigated by God. You know, we have to use wisdom in the things that we do. You know, we're not just going to go and rebel and write and speak right outside the police station, right? Because you're going to get arrested. You're going to go to prison. So you go when you're led by God. We don't have to prove anything to anyone. We don't have to prove that we would speak in an unfavorable situation. We don't have to prove that to show that we're, look, I'm a real believer. No, we just do it naturally. It's naturally in us. And we're doing it led by God. So if God, if the door opens up where you're going to speak and there is that kind of situation, God will take care of you and deliver you from it. We've seen it with the disciples on the way to the temple, when they healed that man at the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. This guy walked into the temple leaping and praising God. You know, because these guys used their spiritual ability and they listened to God. They was walking by the Spirit. They, you know, they perceived from God that this guy had faith to be healed. Then they were taken in front of the religious leaders, weren't they? And then they were beat and told not to, you know, preach in this name. But there were 5,000 added to the church, but they still went about and they preached. And so it's like we do what God puts in our heart. We're not afraid of death, like Amber says. We're not afraid of death. But it's, you know, not like I'm trying to say that we're going to, this is what we're going to go through. But if it comes up, if you're being led by God, you'll have no fear, because God isn't giving you spirit. It won't be present within you, because you'll know and you'll be listening to the voice of God. God will tell you when to open your mouth and when to shut your mouth. He'll tell you when to make a move and when not to make a move. And, you know, there's been things that's happened in the past where people were persecuted and people just kept their mouth shut. They kept silent. and diffused the whole situation. That happened in camp or in India one time, when Sangha and Ken Petty, and there were some other believers, Darren Wellsman, that was a believer here, that was going to India at the time. And these Hindu people come in, and, you know, they were angry and all that, and they can be very fine, they can kill people. And Sangha was sat there, Terry Adams was sat there, Terry Adams was from Phoenix, Arizona. And these guys come in threatening, you know, but these guys just kept quiet. And then Bhupender at the time, he actually got up and he was actually hugging the leader that was coming against them from the Hindu side and telling him, this is, you know, it's okay, we love you and all this stuff. And the news media was there and these people ended up getting arrested. They were coming in thinking they had the police on their side and everything, but they ended up, so God had changed the situation around. So, you know, God has not given you a spirit of fear. You are sons of the Most High God. You know, when there was persecution going on in the book of Acts, they went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered abroad, it says in Acts chapter 8, you know, and they went everywhere speaking. And so our best form of any defense, if you need any, is the offense, and that's preaching the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Because faith is in operation, and God works with faith. He doesn't work with fear. Like the guys, after the Jesus Christ was crucified, they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, wasn't they? And, you know, because they seen Jesus Christ suffer, they thought they were going to go through the same thing. And but Jesus appeared amongst them. And he said, you know, fear not. What are you fearing about, you know? So the first thing that God wants us to know is to fear not. You know, so that means anything. Anything in this world. Even if you've got a court situation going on, you've got a problem going on, God says, fear not, I am with you. Be still, stand still, and watch the salvation of the Lord. Watch God come through for you. A lot of people may have problems and situations, things that they don't think they can sort out, there's no solution to it, and then you worry, and then you sit up, and then you stay awake, and then you get anxious, and then you're fearful, and then the mind's going. God says, be still, fear not, only believe. You imagine what Jesus Christ went through, you know, when he knew what he was going to go through, because he knew the scripture, he was the living word, he knew the scriptures, he knew what he was going to suffer in Isaiah chapter 53, I believe you can read, and he knew from that record what he was going to face. And but he went with his disciples. Don't forget, he's a leader, and he set an example of strength, not an example of fear, not an example of worry or to freak out. He took them along, said, right, we're going to pray. You know, and he took them with him. And then he went a little bit further and he told them just, you know, to be alert. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Be alert. You know, our spirit to do the right thing is willing, but our flesh is weak. We get tired. We can freak out. We can start doubting. We can start worrying. We can start fearing. But I think that as you grow with God, the fear just drops off. You're not worried about anything. Then there's nothing to, what is there to worry about? There really isn't nothing to worry about. Because God is faithful. He's proven himself to be faithful. He proved himself to Jesus all along that whatever he done, that God was there with him and God was leading him and guiding him. So he prayed. And Father, I don't want to go through this, God. You know, isn't there another way? No, I love life. I love hugging the brethren. I love seeing people healed and be delivered. I love speaking my truth. I love going in with the publicans and the sinners to preach your word and to see their hearts and to meet the needs by ministering. But nevertheless, not what I want, what do you want? Jesus had his mum and his brothers. He had family as well. And they were against him most of the part, thinking he was mad and trying to chuck him into, you know, a nut house or take him away to kind of constrain him. And but he loved them. He kept moving with God. He had so many different things challenge him. But he didn't let it faze him. He just moved on. Even when he went to his hometown and he opened up the book, you know, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, you know, to set, to recovering of sight to the blind and set the prisoners free and those that are in bondage and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he stopped down and then he said, this scripture today is fulfilled in your ears. And all the guys want to kill him. know, they took him, so they were going to chuck him off, but he just managed to get away from them. They couldn't hold him down. He had to give up his life. You know, they could, no one could take his life from him. And, yeah, it was a great point that me and Kathy was talking about, Kathy Clark. You know, no one could take his life from him. And it's so true. No one can take anything from you unless you start to believe the narratives. Really, seriously, like, you are strong. You don't give anything up. You keep moving forward. You don't let the circumstance control you. You don't let anyone control you. And doesn't matter what the situation is. If you want to do something and God's saying you can do it, then you keep moving ahead and doing it. Nothing's stopping it. You just make up, you confess it, and it's going to be done. You confess it as done, and it will be done. Because God will operate in that. He'll operate in that faith. So God wants us to be, like, aggressive in our faith. Amber sent me a message today, and she said, I feel like militant in my faith. It's not that we're aggressive with people or we're aggressive with that. No, we're not putting, in other words, we're not going to let a circumstance dictate to us how we're thinking or how we're feeling. We're saying, no, I refuse this. This is not from my God. Me sitting up worrying at night is not from my God. Why am I doing that? You know, God, you help me to have my thoughts well arranged. Help me to get my thoughts in order. If you need help, if there's a spirit hindering my mind, you help me. You know, and go to someone to be ministered to. Spirits, come out. Any spirits now that's hindering anyone on this fellowship, I rebuke you out of that believer right now. You know who you are. Your heart will become peaceful. Your mind will become steady and settled. And because, like, you've got Holy Spirit. You've got Holy Spirit within you. You are powerful. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. So Jesus, you know, he really got troubled in the spirit when he was praying. You know, he got so troubled that he started to sweat blood. If we'd done that, people say, you're out of fellowship. Why are you worrying so much? Why are you letting this anguish get to you? You know, well, wouldn't you, if you knew what you was going to go through and how long you was going to go for it and the manner you was going to go for it and the suffering you was going to go through? And you didn't do nothing wrong. He was despised and rejected of men, right? But God was with him. And him and God was the majority. Satan thought he had him. Satan thought, yeah, we got you now. God's plans isn't going to be fulfilled. You, the whole world will stay in bondage. But Jesus Christ come to set the captives free, right? And he had to go through that process. From his free will choice, he had to do it. God wasn't going to possess him to do it and make him do it. It had to be a giving up. And for us as believers, God's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to say, well, you better follow this or you're going to go to hell or you're not going to get blessed. God wants you, from your free will choice, to live unto him, to be fully focused with him, to desire to do the things for him, 100%. Listen, there's nothing in this world that you're going to gain and you can take with you worth having. Even if you've got a nice 5-bedroom luxury house in the most posh area, so what? Can't take it with you when you die, right? Yeah, you might be able to leave it to your family, but what about eternally? What about the rewards and the blessings of being a faithful, well done thou good and faithful servant? Enter into the joy of your Lord, you know. We stay speaking for God. We stay living for God. And it's not all about us. Oh, let me have a great abundance, God. Yeah, he wants you to have it. I want to have it. You want to have it. But that's not the focus. The focus is doing the will of the Father, and that is to preach the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that all men can be saved, that God wants people to know that his desire is for them, that he loves them. And that they can have an eternal relationship starting from the time they get born again. From the time they confess Jesus as Lord. And God wants us to walk in the power. He wants us to operate this power. He doesn't want it to go to waste. No, he wants people to be healed, to be delivered. We need to expect to see these things. Expect to start ministering in the vein that we did when we first started to learn it. When Sangate was really fresh and teaching that class how to heal the sick and cast out devils. You know, not just, well, I know that, I've taken that, and I've been to India, and I've done some healings. You haven't done nothing since. Because healing is available all the time. And there's lots of people that need healing all the time. And I have a desire to minister healing to other people, whether it's spirits, mentally, physically, emotionally. and for God to work in me, because it's his power, it's his calling card. Now, Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and in power. You know, that's what God's impressed with, your faith, not your knowledge. He's impressed with your heart to do what he wants you to do. And when we really submit to him, say, Father, okay, not my will, but I want to go and preach over here and do this, this, and this, A, B, and C. But what do you want me to do, God? You want me to do X, Y, and Z, or Z, right? We call it Z, you call it C in America. Or X, Y, and C. Oh, you want me to do that? I really want to do that, though. But you want me to do that, not my will, but your will be done. I'll do that. You know, and God wants you happy and he wants you blessed, but we've got to do the things he wants us to do. You know, Paul wanted to go to many different places, but he said, no, go to Macedonia. There's a man there. He's been praying. God showed him in a dream or in vision or something. And he went and he hit the jackpot areas. Many become born again and saved. Jesus didn't waste his time in his walk when his ministry was in operation. He went where God showed him, and it was where the needs were, and it's where the power of God was manifested and demonstrated. You know, stretched forth fine hands, and then the Spirit coming out of the guy in the tombs, you know, where he was chained, and he would break the chains and run to people and freak them out, and because he had a legion of devil spirits in him, Jesus Christ just went over that. You know, and these spirits come running to him. They come running to him, and they said, you know, you come to, you know, judge us before the time, so to speak. And then they said, you know, command that we go into these pigs. And he said, go. You know, he said, go, get out. And then the woman at the well, he spoke by the revelation of God. He was being led by the Spirit of God. And he spoke all of what was going on in that lady's life. He told her all about the husbands and relationships she had. And then he told her about the fountains of living water coming out of her belly. Because he asked her for a drink. Remember that one? Loads of different things that Jesus done. And it was all led by God. God had the perfect plan. And it's no different to Elijah when God told him to go to the brook Cherith. Go there. This is where you're going to be fed. When that dried up, he said, now go to Zarephath. I'm going to get your needs met there. No, God led it. God told Moses what to do. God told Abraham what to do. God told Isaac also what to do. He said, sow in this barren land, and God prospered him. So the point is, and it was said earlier on, that God is the one that's going to lead. Are you leading God? Ask yourself that question. Look at what you're doing, what you're planning, and all these different things. Are you leading it, or are you letting God lead it? Because it's so easy to lead it. Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and it's all exciting, and it's all good, and it all looks brilliant. And so, you know, we find out, oh, sugar, we didn't get God in on it. And God's got, but God will still work with us. But if we initially go with God and follow the lead of God, like, so this wonderful, trip we're going to be doing in, May to South Carolina, you know, God worked this and it was encouraged and it was, inspired in Ted and Shelley. They really wanted to do something. God, well, I didn't work that. God was able to inspire them because I did take a step out to come to America. And through that, it inspired other people. And there was I've seen a YouTube, I put the link in the chat for South Carolina, and it was someone talking about the film, The Wonderful Life. And that on there, the angel said to, is it George, who was playing the character in there? If you'd have taken your life, then you wouldn't have affected this life, and this life wouldn't have changed. And then Jim Cavell, the one that played Jesus Christ in that film, that was done, he said, we've got to look at our life in the light of that. You are so important. You are so important. Like, if someone was going to kill themselves, they could be the person that was going to speak to the next person that was going to change the world. But they went and killed themselves, so it didn't happen. And if we look at that, our lives in the light of that, that you are so important, you are key. You know, you are a key person for God. And, you know, someone had to go and minister to Saul once he got converted, right? Someone had to minister to him. And so that his eyes were open. And it was little Ananias who was faithfully praying. If he didn't obey, then who was going to go? There might not have been anyone brave enough to go and minister to Saul, because what was Saul doing? Or the Apostle Paul at that time, what was he doing? He was persecuting the church, putting everyone in prison. So God knows what he's doing. So Jesus prayed, and he sweated so much blood in that Garden of Gethsemane. He was pressed out of measure, but God was faithful. He said, nevertheless, not my will, God, not what I want to do, all the plans that I've got and all the things that I love, not what I want, but what you want, I'm willing to do. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And God sent angels to minister to him. God will sustain you for any kind of pressure you might be going through, any difficulties you might be going through. God will sustain you. So that's why we don't have to fear, because God has you in the palms of his hands. And when you're going to God and you keep God in the situation, he's going to take full care of you. You're allowing him to work. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See your desire. See your vision. What's the vision God's put in your heart? Not your the vision God's put in your heart for him. You got your goals and you got your desires and the things that you personally want to do and achieve. But what about the things that God wants you to personally do and achieve? Like this weekend in the world, or this time of when we go to South Carolina. That's God's heart. That definitely is God's heart. And he worked that in Ted and Shelley. And as they've been humble to God, and so now they've been able to execute it, everybody else has been humble to the direction of that. Now we're all going to be together by the grace of God, because God is working that. It's not because anyone's so special, right? It's because God wants this to happen, and we're all willing to be a partaker of that. So God is able to meet the needs for it as well, so we can think really high on those things. So God is really with each and every one of us. He wants us to stay with him. Just stay with God in the simple practices, day by day. Be on fire for God. Have that rocket up your bum, right? Yeah. Let's get moving. And don't worry. But if there's things going on, just let it go. You got to let things go. Things you can't control and the things you cannot change, you let it go. Be still and know that he is God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Say what you want, not what you see. Stop talking to yourself how bad your situation could be, or may be, or is. But start saying to yourself, in your mind, in your heart, how it is with God, and then start releasing it out of your mouth into the atmosphere. Call those things which are not as though they were. That's what God did. The element and all the substance for light to be was there, it just wasn't manifest until God said, light be. And then light became. My life changed from the time God showed me about faith and confession. Say what you want, not what you see. And then that's a practice. Because a lot of times we do say what we see. I do it at the time. Even now I do at times. I'm not perfect in this. I'm practicing it. This is our faith and practice. I'm getting better at it every day. And I get to recognize it in other people when they're not saying what they want. They're saying their emotions. They're saying what they see up somebody else is doing. And it's like passing the blame, even though they may not be. It's like passing the blame, well, this person's this and this person's that. And that. We can't control other people. But you know who can? Who can change your heart? God. So whatever's going on against us, or whatever's affecting us, we go to God. Father, I can't change this, but help me to be the change in the situation. You know how I should act and what I should speak and what I shouldn't speak for this person to also have an indication that, hey, they can change. And you can work in their hearts. You can change minds. God can. He can do anything he wants. And when we're cooperating with God, you know, we're walking in love. You know, walk in love. Sometimes we really want to have a go at someone or be angry at someone, but walk in love. Be encouraged. Be the encourager. God wants you to really encourage other people. See, our whole job is to encourage other people. And God wants us to, I think fans saying something, someone saying something, texting me messages. But the point is that God wants us to be encouragers. You can either be a discourager or an encourager. You can either be someone that's pointing out all the faults in someone else as a minister. Like you could be a minister and you could be ministering to someone. You could see all the faults and you're pointing them all out. But you need to give them some answers. You need to give them some solutions. You need to give them some encouragement. And that comes from God. If they're humble, God will give you the words what they need to do. And if they're humble, they'll go and do it and they'll walk and receive that deliverance. It's very simple, but I'm blessed because everyone on here is strong. I would say stay humble, stay meek, keep moving forward, take one step at a time, take each day at a time, stay connected, stay doing these practices. Like the connections are very important. Your first connection is to God. Keep that hot and alive. And if you keep that hot and alive, you'll keep your other connections hot and alive. And stay thankful. Have that attitude of gratitude, even if you don't feel like you want to have an attitude of gratitude. You may not feel like it, you know. But we don't go by our feelings. We're not conformed to this world. We're not being conformed. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're putting on that mind of Christ when we start to say what we want and not what we see. When we start to speak words that edify and not tear down. When we start to call those things that are not as though they were. Finances, health, connections. Call them. Call the labourers. Labourers come. If you went to your back door now and you got a tin and you tapped on it and called all the cats, "Hey, kitty, kitty, kitty." And I love that from Charles Cat's ministry, as Annette said. "Hey, kitty, kitty." All the neighbourhood cats are going to come, right? So, "Hey, labourers, come on. Come on, come get a cup of tea. Come and get a slice of cake." No, call the labourers. "Father, I thank you. I have so many labourers. And they're connected and they're faithful and they're hot. You know, and they're not after my steak and chips, but they're after the fellowship and the words that are coming out of my mouth. They're not just coming here for a cup of tea and a slice of cake." Even though they get a cup of tea and they get a slice of cake and they get some of my steak, what you bless me with. But everything I got is what you've given to me. So God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to keep focus. We don't take no for an answer. You know, whatever you desire, you know, that you're going to do for God, you say, "I'm doing it. It's done. It's already done." And let God bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Whatever your need is right now, it's met. Call it. Thank God. Thank you, God. This needs met. It's done. And I know it will manifest. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall manifest them. You shall have them. It shall appear. You know, God can multiply your bread. If he can multiply your, no, money's bread, isn't it? We, over here, we call it, "Give us some bread, man." Bread. You know, God can multiply your bread for you. And we do that by sowing our seed. God shows us what to do. All we got to do is do what God shows us to do. And Amber, what was it? Amber, again, she said another scripture to me. 2 Chronicles 20:20. "Believe God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper." And you'll prosper where? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, materially, in relationships, in your family. God goes the whole hog. He covers every single area. When you believe him, he establishes you in your life and in your living, and he'll prosper you. So you've got the things to do. You've got the mental capacity. You've got the physical health. You've got the money and the wealth to be that blessing. You know, God does want you rich. He wants you to be blessed to be a blessing. He wants you rich in your heart and mind with his spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's made you rich. He's given you the richest thing that anyone can give you is Holy Spirit. The power from on high. Your eternal life. Your sonship. Your righteousness, your justification, your sanctification, your redemption. Jesus Christ said, "Not my will, Lord, but your will be done." And then he went through that suffering. He suffered so you didn't have to suffer. He shed his blood so you didn't have to shed your blood. He poured out his emotions and heart, so you didn't have to pour out your emotions and heart. He paid the price right there. When his emotions were affected, he was paying the price for your emotions. Go and read Isaiah 53. Go and look at all the words. Go and look at the Hebrew words connected to some of those words. What he actually paid for. He paid for, so you didn't have to bite your, you know, fingers up to the second knuckle. That you didn't have to feel like you want to die, or that you want to take your life, or you want to run away. He paid the price. And every time we do some upset, we're like saying you didn't pay the price, Lord. But he did. And he loves you, like God loves you. He loves you so dearly, it cost him his son. And thankfully, he was obedient. And we also can be obedient. We can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. God works in you. He's left us no excuses, guys. We can be ignorant. Fear comes because you're ignorant in an area. And if you want to get rid of fear in those areas that you've got it, you've got to see where am I ignorant? What am I ignorant on? Father, help me here. Help me to see. Because I know that you haven't put in my spirit fear. So fear is learned and is acquired. Because God hasn't given us that. And you are free through the word. Like right now, every one of you that's received what I've been saying, you are clean through this word. Through these rhema words and energized by God. If you're receiving it with a humble and tender heart, you're clean. You're becoming free if you're still got anything there. Devil spirits are going to leave you. They're there. They're going to leave not just you, but your home. Or anyone that's affecting you, that's operating them around you. You are free. They have to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the authority we got. We are as he is in this world. Where you walk, you walk as lights in this world. And devils know if you're on it or not. They know if you believe who you are. I believe who I am. And devils know I believe who I am. And they tremble because I know who I am in Christ. I'm awake to who I am. I am as Christ. I'm not looking at myself as Lawrence. That's who you really are. Come out of the matrix. You really are as Christ. That's what God says in the scriptures. Let's live this walk. Let's live in walk of power. Let's manifest the power of God. If you want to glorify God, then manifest the power of God. You can do that in many ways. You can do it by speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, operating word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning the spirits. They're under your feet. Religious spirits are out. You don't want them around here. You can't hang around as Pharisee spirits. Not at all. This is clean. We're clean through the word. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And we got Holy Spirit. That's where the liberty is. The light's shining bright. Devils are screeching. They're running away from the north to the south, to the east to the west. They're running away from us, from you, from where you are. Do you believe it? You believe it? Say, I believe. And you watch that. There go. You'll see a likeness come. So anyway, this is what was in my heart to speak forth and to declare and to encourage you that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Stay humble. Don't go ahead of yourself. Let God lead you. Keep it tender. Keep it loving. And just follow the encouragement, guys. Really follow the encouragement, especially when it comes to those five things. Speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, honor God with your substance, stay connected, pray for the laborers, whether you want one or not, pray for them. If you don't want them, say, God, I don't want a laborer, but send it to that one that does want a laborer. Pray. Right? We need laborers, and that's what Jesus encouraged his disciples at that time. I didn't think he had changed his mind on that. And God will at below them. He'll throw them out. He'll throw those laborers in your path. If you're going to do it God's way, you're going to bring in your own private interpretation and your own doctrine. You'll get them, but no one will rise up to move because we want to get people to move. So we're not sugarcoating anything. We're encouraging people, but we're not sugarcoating. I remind you again, our ministry is word and ministry of reconciliation. It's not just about making our life good. as we take care of God's business, he will take care of our business. He will make our life good. We don't have to focus on making our life good because God already done it. And when we focus on him, then everything else will become good. Behold, all things will become new, as well as yourself, right? But it'd be yourself first. You'll prosper in yourself. And then it starts to manifest from outside of yourself. And so anyway, that's what I want to share. So God bless your beautiful heart.